All right, welcome to this emergency Sunday edition of Brighton Broadcast News. I'm Mike Adams, and this is Sunday, June 8th, 2025. And of course, I'm doing this because of the worsening LA riots, or I don't know what you call it, an insurrection. And yesterday, in case you didn't know, all kinds of left-wing, fascist, communist groups, they organized assaults on the federal officers, the ICE officers and others, who were attempting to remove some violent criminal illegals from, I believe it was from some detention centers where they were being held. And then the radical left, fascist, communist, whatever groups, I think one of them is called Unión de Barrio, means the neighborhood union. They got together, and basically they're Black Lives Matter of Mexicans, is, you know, essentially what this has become now. So they got together and they pulled together hundreds of people, and then they began assaulting, like really assaulting and throwing large rocks, smashing windshields and burning cars in LA. And also burning some buildings later in the evening. I'm recording this very close to midnight, and I've been watching the footage, and there's a ton of footage of, you know, the clashes happening. Now, the most important news item of the last few hours is that President Trump seized control of the California National Guard and is reportedly deploying 2,000 soldiers to the Los Angeles City region in order to protect law enforcement officials there. And, of course, Governor Newsom appears to be supporting all the illegals and opposing Trump. And, of course, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass, I think is her name, she's all in with the illegals, of course, and so are all the other authorities out of California. Because California is frankly, it's a corrupt criminal cabal run by just a few families. They haven't had an honest election there in at least two generations. And it's a giant money laundering criminal cabal that, frankly, needs to be shut down. And the California government says that the illegals should be left alone. So let me back up here for a second. And Let's go with a few definitions here. So people who illegally cross the border into the United States, they are not immigrants, because immigration is a legal process. I'm very familiar with it because my wife went through the process. I mean, which means I went through it with my wife for many, many years that it took for her to become a naturalized U.S. citizen many, many decades ago. But we did it the correct way, the lawful way. So I am married to an immigrant. But these invaders in California and other places, they are not immigrants. They are illegals. They committed crimes by crossing the border knowingly, without a visa, without permission, without a green card, without a passport. I mean, you know, they walked across the border and committed a crime of trespassing. And then they have been occupying parts of this nation in huge numbers. At least 10 million of these illegals have poured in over, I mean, just during the Biden administration, is estimated that as many as 10 million came in at that time. And remember, they were sending massive hordes, just caravans of illegals, to walk across the border. And of course, the Democrats welcomed it. And then people like Michael Yon kept warning that the Darien Gap was set up as an invasion station, or at least the camps there, such as the San Vicente camp and the Lajas Blancas camp there that we actually toured on video with Michael Yon. And there are other camps as well. And those camps were set up and funded by the United States State Department with the work of Alejandro Mayorkas and other NGOs such as HIAS, which is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, that tends to be run by a lot of, you know, Zionist people who are all about illegal immigration into the United States. And there are other groups. There's a UN group. You know, there's a number of nonprofits that do this. So the invasion has been happening for many, many years. So these people who are illegals, they have no right to be here. By definition, if you believe in the rule of law, and if you believe that citizens should follow at least basic laws about borders, then you understand that they are here illegally. But it's worse than that. Not only are they here illegally, but they are creating a massive financial burden on the American people. So for the state of California, for example, there is a massive healthcare cost burden that is ultimately paid for by the taxpayers of California. So if you worked your whole professional life in California, you paid sky-high taxes the whole time, maybe you worked 20, 30, 40 years, paid taxes the whole time, and then a group of illegals, they march across the border, and instantly they get all kinds of freebies, free education, free healthcare, free money, free phones, free rent, free subsidize this, subsidize that, everything on your dime. Is that fair? Of course it's not fair. It's actually theft. And is it compassionate to give them all this free stuff? No, that's not compassionate. If you have compassion about people who are starving in other countries, teach them how to farm in those other countries, or send them food and teach them how to farm and send them seeds, etc. Teach them how to succeed where they are, instead of what the Democrats have done, which is through, well, actually it's been through the neocons as well as the Democrats and the rhinos, is to bomb and destroy third world countries and invade and economic sanctions and all these other horrible things on these third world countries, which drives those people into desperate situations in many cases. And then they head to the United States because they know they're going to get all kinds of freebies and handouts there. So there are things that certainly the Biden administration, Barack Obama, and even under Trump's administrations, there are things that have taken place that destroy the viability of many of these other countries, like what the Clintons did in Haiti, for example. You know, all it takes is one Clinton to wreck the economy of a third world nation, sending a massive surge of illegals into the United States. And remember that it was the goal of the Democrats all along to flood the U.S. with tens of millions of illegals, then to give them voting rights and give them free handouts, and then to outvote the American people and have the Democrats in power permanently. So they use massive human trafficking in order to try to achieve political power. And that is why Democrats in California right now are losing their minds over Trump activating the National Guard or activating ICE agents to actually deport the illegals, which is the obvious right answer to all of this, that every illegal who crossed the border, who came to the United States without going through the proper legal process of immigration, every single one of them should be politely shown the exit. And if they don't go politely, then you take them to the exit. You know, you pick them up and you drop them off at the exit. I mean, yes, you have to respect their human rights. Yes, they have to have food and water and shelter, you know, a place to sleep during the processing, whatever. But ultimately, they have to be booted out of the country because they have no right to be here. Now, their presence in this country is even worse than you might have imagined, because many of you know that House seats in Congress are apportioned based on the census population data, and the census counts illegals. So when there are tens of millions of illegals in the United States, and by some estimates there are, maybe 20 million. Well, those 20 million people who predominantly live in left-wing states and left-wing congressional districts, what they end up causing is more House seats are apportioned to their population areas, even though they are not even Americans. And so then the American people who actually grew up in America and paid taxes in America and voted most of their adult lives, let's say, the American people are disenfranchised based on the number of House seats that are given to radical left-wing America-hating Democrats because of the census data of all the illegals in those districts, you see? So it's the American people that are disenfranchised. It's the American people who are the victims of democracy being stolen from them by these millions of illegals that were purposely let into this country by the Democrats. And it's those illegals that, of course, the Democrats are now desperately trying to keep in America to continue to occupy this nation and to continue to rig elections, to continue to cheat in Congress, to have more House seats than they deserve, to give these illegals the right to vote so they can outvote the American people. And, you know, this is, California has spearheaded this effort, and this is where we are today. Then Trump gets elected, and now Stephen Miller and Tom Homan and others are finally pushing back against this total invasion overrun of our country. And they must push back. There is no other choice. If you want to maintain your constitutional republic, if you want to have a nation, you have to have border control. And as much as I am an advocate of small government, this is the one area where determined government needs to be implemented. It's controlling the border. If the government has any legitimate thing to do at all, it's defending the nation. And that's what this is all about. And that's why Trump must deploy the military along the border and stop the invasion from taking place. He's got to stop the human trafficking. Of course, the California Democrats never want to stop the trafficking because they use that for campaign donations. How do you think they finance their campaigns? They get kickbacks from the drug traffickers, the human traffickers, and the weapons traffickers. So certain groups are allowed to smuggle anything across the border into California, and they simply pay a toll to the corrupt Democrat leadership of the California government. And then that goes into a pool and it gets distributed to all the various judges that are paid off and all the various mayors. And of course, the governor, he's got his fingers into everything. And, you know, members of Border Patrol, members of law enforcement, you know, police chiefs of certain cities, etc., they all get paid off. That's drug money and human trafficking money. That's where all that comes from, okay? Because it is a giant criminal cartel in California. So Trump and his team are finally doing something to try to stop this. As a result, the radical left, facing an existential threat to their entire scam, they realize, hey, if Trump wins here, if he shuts down this massive, you know, illegal immigration kickbacks, fraud, smuggling, payoff scheme, then the Democrats are toast. They can't win without that money train from, you know, all the trafficking. So that's why they're pushing back hard against this and organizing their left-wing communist and fascist groups. And that's why they are trying to bait the Trump administration into an overreaction. And what the left wants most of all, and believe me, CNN wants this, you know, Governor Newsom wants this. What they want most of all is video footage of federal agents or National Guard troops like gunning down some poor Hispanic looking people who are waving a Mexican flag. That's the image that CNN wants, and they will weaponize that to call for Trump's impeachment. They will weaponize it to say that Trump is executing immigrants. You know, that's how they'll say it. Of course, it's a lie. It's a total lie. But that's the bait. That's the trap that is being set right now. So what's happening is bricks, pallets of bricks and pallets of cinder blocks have been set out. I've seen the videos for the radical leftists. And as the National Guard moves in, they're going to be assaulted with deadly flying objects, you know, bricks and probably many other things. Like what are some of the tricks that Antifa used to do? They would freeze their own urine and then they would throw like piss ice balls at federal agents, which can cause a lot of damage if they hit you in the skull or other areas of your body. But that's the kind of thing that the radical left will do, like, you know, catapult piss bomb wars, you know, things like that, plus green lasers to try to cause eye damage of federal agents. And at some point they'll probably bring in some kind of, you know, firearms, or certainly we've already seen fireworks. But I'm talking about left-wing firearms, anything to provoke the Trump administration into shooting somebody so that can be caught on video. That's the moment that they're waiting for. And that's sort of, they want a George Floyd type of moment for the radical leftists, but especially the illegals. They need a George Floyd moment in order to declare total war and to claim that they have the moral high ground in, you know, coddling all of these illegals, many of whom are violent criminals, rapists, carjackers, drug smugglers, you name it. These are the people that actually make your societies dangerous. These are the people being removed by the Trump administration. But no, the Democrats, they want the murderers, the rapists, the carjackers. They want the violence. They benefit from violence. They benefit from it. They get paid off, remember. But anyway, they're trying to bait the Trump administration into overreacting. And that's why the videos that you've seen so far, at least the ones I've seen, they've only been firing tear gas canisters and paintball guns. And since I used to play paintball many years ago, you can instantly hear and see, you can recognize these are paintball guns with the air canisters and a blip, 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 blip. And, you know, they're just going to town with airball guns, like Tippmann brand, you know, paintball guns is what they are. And what's ironic about this, by the way, is that this left-wing attempt to bait the Trump administration into an overreaction, this is exactly what NATO has been doing, using the proxy state of Ukraine to try to bait Russia into a massive overreaction following the recent attacks in Russia, like the blowing up of the train, the commuter train bridge, the attempted detonation, the attempted destruction of the Kerch Bridge in Crimea, and also the bombing of the Tu-95 strategic long-range bombers at various airfields deep inside Russia. This was clearly a provocation effort to try to get Putin to respond, to over-respond with maybe a nuke or maybe thermobaric missiles or Oreshnik missiles and take out a bunch of targets. And so far, that provocation attempt targeting Putin has failed. Putin has not taken that bait, although maybe he will. Maybe they're planning a much bigger attack that we don't know about, and I guess we're going to find out. Nevertheless, the Trump administration is facing a very difficult situation here where they have to maintain extremely high discipline among the troops. But here's the problem. These 2,000 National Guard troops that are being deployed there, all these National Guard troops are Californians. So probably, I'm just guessing, at least half of those troops are sympathetic to the illegals. And many of those troops are probably, you know, left-wing California brainwashed people who believe in Newsom and they hate America and all that kind of stuff. So one of my questions is going to be, I mean, first, am I right about that assumption? Maybe some of you listening know more than I do about this. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But my impression is that a lot of those soldiers are going to be sympathetic. So they may not really work to enforce Trump's wishes of clamping down on this thing. You could have National Guard soldiers or even National Guard commanders actively working against the Trump administration. I guess we're going to find out. The big question here is discipline. Will this Guard unit follow the directive of President Trump, or will they turn against Trump and go off and do their own thing? Is it even possible that they might turn against federal agents, turn against ICE, and then we might have a civil war on our hands? Imagine a couple thousand guardsmen that are part of an armed insurrection against the federal government. Then you'd probably have Trump bring in either other guard units from other states, more conservative states, let's say, which cannot be Oregon, can't be Washington, you know, et cetera. You'd have to pull them out of maybe, you know, Arizona and Nevada and Utah, et cetera, and bring those in or deploy the actual active duty U.S. military, which would be a whole different ballgame because now you're talking about, I mean, to do that, Trump would have to declare an active insurrection, which he probably will if this escalates any further. And he may then literally deploy active duty U.S. Army troops and tanks and who knows what else, drones. And you could see a live civil war in Los Angeles. You could see like Warthog A-10 aircraft buzzing and destroying targets on the ground in L.A. You could see artillery brought in. You could see city blocks leveled like they were Gaza, you know? Now, I'm praying that this doesn't happen. I'm just saying this is certainly one of the possible timelines of where this goes. Now, what's exacerbating all of this is, it gets me back to a quote that Gerald Celente is famous for. He says that when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. Because I interviewed Celente recently, and we were talking about that in the interview. And he's absolutely right. So think about not just the illegals in California, but even the American citizens, the California citizens who are liberals. What are they experiencing right now? And it's largely because of the policies of Joe Biden, by the way. But they're experiencing a very difficult time being able to afford anything in society today because of inflation and supply chain problems. Real estate in California is wildly overpriced and practically unaffordable, especially to younger people. Jobs are harder to come by, and people are beginning to be replaced by AI. And because of the lunatic restrictions on energy from the radical left, all the climate lunatics, life has become much more difficult. Fuel costs more than it should. Vehicles are much more expensive to operate than they should be. Everything based on energy is more expensive, and that includes all food, by the way. So the very reason why these people in California are paying more for food and feeling so frustrated and blaming Trump, it's actually because of their climate change politics, their lunatic policies that have tried to shut down combustion engines. Remember the Green New Deal? And California had actually banned all combustion engine cars by the year, I think, 2035 it was. I doubt they're sticking with that any longer. But the Democrats were literally within, they were in the process of strangling the American nation, strangling the energy out of the nation and collapsing the country. That's what these young Democrats in California are actually feeling, but they don't realize it's the Democrats that did it to them. They blame Trump for everything because they have TDS, obviously. So, yes, life is hard for them because they're lunatic policies and they're living in a lunatic state run by a criminal cabal of treasonous traitors. That's why life is hard in California. Life is not that hard in Oklahoma or Texas or Florida or Missouri or, you know, Idaho. Life is not that hard. Life is hard in California because leftists made it that way. But because they're in a situation where they feel like they are losing everything and where they have nothing left to lose, they're losing it. That's what you're seeing. So this is about more than immigration. This is about the fact that even if you make $20 an hour working fast food in California, you can't afford to live there. You can barely pay rent and you can't pay health insurance. You can't pay car insurance. Forget it. You can't buy food for a family. It doesn't work anymore because the Democrats have destroyed California. And frankly, over decades, the central bank has destroyed the value of the dollar. And of course, that's also continuing because of the Federal Reserve. And rumor is that Powell is about to be replaced by somebody else because Trump doesn't like Powell. And well, I don't like Powell either, but I guess that's a different podcast. Nevertheless, there are more factors involved here than you might at first suspect. This isn't just about illegal immigration. It's about much more. Now, where is this likely to go? My guess is this gets a lot worse before it gets resolved. And this is going to be a test of political wills. On the left side, you're going to have Newsom and Mayor Bass and the other California political leaders screaming about how the government has suddenly become a terrorist organization, which of course they never said under Biden. And suddenly all their people are victims and they're going to claim to be victims and how evil and cruel the government is and how heartless the government is. And that's going to dominate NPR and CNN and all the left-wing news. On Trump's side of things, the call is, hey, we are either a nation of laws or we are not. These invaders came here illegally. They've got to go. It may not be pretty. It may not be happy. not going to put a smile on your face to watch people being put into buses and taken to a deportation center and then dropped off at the border, or maybe given a plane ticket back home. What, however it works, depends on the situation. That's not going to be a pretty sight, but it is a necessary thing to defend the integrity of this nation, our political system, our economic system, our culture, our borders, all of it. You've got to stop the illegal invasion, and you have to reverse it by deporting those who came into this country illegally, no matter what it looks like. Now, I'm not saying that the government should use vindictive or unreasonable or cruel means in order to achieve it. I'm not calling for the government to run around, you know, executing illegals or anything crazy like that. I'm saying that they should, and so far they have been very restrained. I mean, firing paintballs, non-lethal, rubber bullets in some cases, tear gas canisters in some cases. These are non-lethal munitions. That's what I've seen so far. The government has shown a lot of restraint. Where necessary, they may have to use reasonable force in order to physically take a violent, illegal criminal, put them in handcuffs and stick them in a van and get them out of there. And that is on a case-by-case basis, obviously. And I think most reasonable people would agree that that is a reasonable use of government force directed against an illegal, a criminal who by definition broke the law. But what the left wants, like I said before, is they want the government to overreact and just start shooting people so they can say, look, they're killing us, you know, and start a civil war. And that's what they want. They want a civil war. The left wants it. And they may just get it. This may be the beginning of it. You can see the spark has been lit here, or the ignition has been lit. And as my friend Michael Yan always says, it's the conditions that matter. Like, any spark can set off a civil war or a revolt. What matters is the conditions. Just like a forest fire can become a raging fire with one little spark. If the leaves are dry, the soil is dry, it's been a drought, etc., the air, you know, the wind is blowing so that the flames can spread quickly. It's the conditions that matter. When there's a lot of fuel to be burned, you know. So the conditions right now in California are almost perfectly tuned in for a raging civil war forest fire. And the left is no doubt going to exploit that, and they're going to try to turn this into what may become an effort to overthrow the Trump administration or to overthrow the United States of America and carry out something like the French Revolution, something, you know, what, late 18th century French Revolution. Where they'll start rolling guillotines out, and the radical leftists will talk about beheading Trump officials and you know, crazy stuff like that. You're probably going to see some of that. Or, I mean, at least talk like that. Because the radical left, I mean, let's be clear. They're almost all communists and Marxists, okay? They truly hate America. They don't believe the rule of law applies to them. They obviously hate Trump. They mostly hate white people. They despise private enterprise. They hate the commercial sector. They hate everything about America. That's why they're not waving American flags. They're waving Mexican flags because they want the Mexican invasion and takeover of large sections of the United States of America. I mean, they want to take California. They want to take Arizona and New Mexico. They'll rename it Old Mexico again. You know, they want to take half of Texas, etc. Really, there's no limit to what they want to take. This is not just a domestic civil war. This is the beginning of what they want as a land grab, an actual invasion of the United States to take over certain areas. And the governor of Arizona, who did not win the election, she cheated. She will go along with this. She's actually a plant put there to encourage and allow the invasion of the United States through Arizona. And actually, there's been a lot of weapons trafficking through the Arizona border, more through Arizona than through California, it turns out. It's across the Arizona border that the drones have been bringing the landmines, the anti-personnel landmines, and other weapons that I've talked about previously because of the sources I have that were able to talk about these things after a period of time. But the Arizona border has been left wide open on purpose in order to bring equipment across. You know, I need to interview Matt Bracken, frankly, for an update on all this. I'll reach out to Matt, see if I can get him on. But all of this is by design, and they have pre-positioned a massive amount of weaponry in Arizona, in California, in other states, in Colorado. They've got the containers. They've got the full auto rifles. They've got the thermal and night vision. They've got the ballistic vests. They've got what do they have? Mortars, mobile mortar teams, like 60 millimeter mortars. What else do they have? Oh yeah. They still have a few surface to air missiles so they can take down some aircraft. And remember, they were targeting Trump's airplane during, you know, before the election. But as far as we know, those missiles never got fired, which means they're still out there. They're in storage somewhere. Somebody's got these missiles. And I wouldn't be surprised if these come out now as this so-called, I don't know if it's a civil war or an insurrection, as it really escalates. And remember, it's not just surface-to-air missiles. It's not just artillery, but it's also RPGs. So yeah, they have RPGs in America that can take out armored vehicles. So the radical left, with the help of some communist enemies of America, no doubt, they have been preparing for a war against the United States of America, starting domestically. They've been preparing for that for a long time. And with Trump in power, and them realizing that they can't get Trump to back down on the deportations, and with Tom Homan in charge and actually getting things done, and, you know, Noam and Bongino and Patel, etc. Now, I don't agree with all their policies on everything. I think we're being lied to about the Epstein files. But when it comes to stopping illegal immigration, I think this team is on the ball. And I fully support the arrest and deportation of illegals, but especially focusing on the violent ones, the ones that carry out the crimes, the trafficking, you know, the carjacking, etc. Those are the ones that need to be targeted with high priority. Now, for those of you who say, well, who's going to do the work in America? Well, look, I'm all in favor of a work visa program, even a much larger work visa program. And the way that would work is workers from Mexico or wherever are granted temporary permission on a work visa to come in and work, to work on the farms, to work on construction, you know, whatever the administration thinks is appropriate to balance it with American jobs so that Americans have job opportunities first. But if there are gaps to be filled, I'm not opposed to temporary work permits on a couple of conditions. Number one, they don't get counted in the census. Number two, they don't get to vote. They don't get COVID funds, because you know how many illegals received like COVID stimulus money from the government? All kinds of illegals. They took the money, they cashed the checks, and then they left. I mean, massive fraud during the COVID stimulus handouts. Illegals cashed in on that all day. But I'm not opposed to some reasonable work visa situation if the numbers are amenable to this balancing act. But we can't just have anybody just walking across the border and coming in as illegals and then counted in the census, you know, taking congressional seats, voting in elections, receiving all kinds of government benefits that are paid for by taxpayers. That has got to end. And it seems to me that the Trump administration is determined to end that. Now, in terms of the actual numbers that are being deported right now, it's really not a very big number. My understanding is that it's currently only about a couple thousand a day, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 per day, let's say, on average. And in order to do that, they're having to get more aggressive, you know, raiding certain operations or certain businesses. You've seen some of that news over the last couple of weeks, but especially in the blue cities, the sanctuary cities, where they know they're going to find all kinds of illegals who think they're protected by their mayor or protected by their governor. Well, they're not. So there's only a few thousand a day currently being deported. As difficult as that is, and that's not an easy task, as you can tell from watching some of these videos, a lot of these, you know, officers are really in harm's way doing this. But as difficult as that is, it's really only a drop in the bucket compared to how many millions came into the U.S. just during the Biden administration, the fake Biden administration. He was never even president. He didn't even sign anything. It was all auto pen. He was the auto pen brain dead zombie president. Everything the auto pen signed should be overturned and rendered null and void, in my opinion. But that's a different conversation. Nevertheless, if you've got 10 million illegals here, which is kind of on the low side, and you're deporting, let's say, 2,500 a day, let's do the math and see what that comes to. All right, so that's 912,500 per year if you deport 2,500 people per day, every day, including holidays, which will never happen. But even that's not a million. That's not a million in a year. And there's at least 10 million here. Probably 10 million came in during the Biden administration. There were days when there were over 10,000 illegals crossing the border in one day. So even if you go a whole year at this pace, you'll only deport less than 10% of the illegals that are in the country. Think about that. So for this strategy of deportation to actually be effective at taking our country back, it's going to have to crank up to something more like 10,000 people a day. And if it goes to, I mean, even at the current level, it's already starting to look like a war zone in Los Angeles. If you go to 10,000 a day, you're basically going to have to deploy, I'm just guessing, but thousands of federal agents. I don't even know how you would do it. How would you even hit 10,000 a day? Seems to me like the only way to do that is you'd have to convince people to self-deport somehow. And one way that you can do that is by ending all the benefits to the illegals. Why should they collect benefits? They're not even citizens. They never paid taxes. I mean, come on. And secondly, you got to take away their voting rights. They have no constitutional right to vote in this country. When I lived in Ecuador, I didn't have the right to vote in Ecuador. I didn't even try to vote in Ecuador. That would have been stupid. And also in Ecuador, they check your ID before you vote. Imagine that. And they can't do that in America? Give me a break. So you got to make the elections honest. You have to bring back election integrity. You got to get rid of all the voting machines because that's how Democrats cheat. So you have to have paper ballots, show your ID when you vote, and in order to register to vote, you have to prove you're a citizen. It's very simple, actually, to clean up our elections. And this is the time to get it done. And that will send a message to a lot of illegals that, hey, you're not going to get to just come here and game the system any longer. And if there are illegals here in the country that have been here, they've been part of American culture for, you know, 10 years or more, there's a lot of these, the so-called dreamers. They are part of the American culture. They're not just foreign invaders marching in. You know, they've been here. I say, look, put them on a work visa program and give them a path to citizenship if they fulfill some very stringent requirements that would be equivalent to legal immigration. In other words, look, we welcome immigrants. We welcome immigrants in America. And if the people who have been here this whole time, if they want to immigrate, and if they have merit for immigration, if they're hard workers, if they don't have a criminal record, you know, et cetera, and they speak English, et cetera, then I'm okay with giving them a path that allows them to follow the law and go through an immigration procedure where their background is checked and all these other things. And this path typically would take several years, but at least that would be a vector for, quote, the good people, the people who just want to contribute to America, who have been here for a long time, who already feel like they're part of the American culture. I'm okay with a work visa program that has a pathway to legal immigration if we stay in control of that. We determine the numbers. We, as a country, we get to decide who comes in and how many come in. But this whole thing of just unlimited anything goes, like, that's got to end, because that's going to get our nation destroyed. So the bottom line to me here is that it looks like this is going to escalate into a much larger war, and there will be various parties on the left that will try to take advantage of this movement to maybe attack or burn federal buildings or attack federal officers or carry out acts of terrorism. Or maybe there will be activation of the operatives that are already here. And we've talked about this before. They are here and they've been waiting for the opportunity. Frankly, I thought they were going to be activated before Trump was sworn in. I was surprised that that did not happen. But maybe this is where they're going to be activated. I don't know. I hope not. But they're waiting for orders from their handlers, a go time order. And maybe they figure at this point that it's either, do or die. Like, they're about to be destroyed and deported and exposed, and they got nothing left to lose. So maybe this is the time where they figure they're just going to go for it and hope that they can, overthrow the government or something. I mean, that seems to be what they're thinking, or at least some of them. Remember what Joe Biden always said? When there was a question about any kind of insurrection group or anything, he said, well, we have F-16s, right? Remember that? Can you imagine if Trump deployed F-16s to start dropping ordnance on Los Angeles? I mean, geez, of course, I don't think that would happen, but can you imagine the outcry from the radical left if that did happen? Yeah, there you go. Now, there was a movie that came out last year called Civil War. And I watched that movie. I watched it twice because that movie, it did not pick sides. You were never really sure who was actually, it wasn't Democrats versus Republicans, but it was an effort to, or what was depicted in the movie was an armed insurrection to overthrow and to kill the president of the United States. And I believe in the movie, that's exactly what they did. They did. They invaded Washington, D.C., and they invaded the White House, I believe it was, and then they ended up killing the president. Maybe it was in the Oval Office. I'm not sure. But in that film, I forgot what they called them. The Western states, I think it was. Like, the Western states were waging war against D.C. Yeah, I think that's what it was. So let me find the trailer for that film because, wasn't it California and other states that were part of trying to overthrow the federal government? Yeah, let me bring it up. All right, I found it. I'm going to play it for you. It's about 2 minutes. And you know how Hollywood is always trying to show you what they have planned, actually? Take a look at this trailer and see how much of this now resonates with exactly what's happening with the Trump administration versus California. Check this out.
United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
All right, there you go. Wow, the Civil War trailer. Now, just as a note, that film was clearly written and scripted by leftists because it's filled with left-wing narratives and a total misunderstanding of how firearms work and all kinds of things like that. But it's kind of a fantasy of the radical left to have California and Texas at war against the federal government, or really 19 Western states at war against the federal government when Trump is in charge. So this is definitely foreshadowing by the radical left. And they, I mean, at least in my view, my understanding of what leftists want right now is they absolutely want to overthrow the Trump government. You know, they would love to do that if they could. And California would attempt to lead the way. And you're actually seeing that right now with Governor Newsom of California saying that, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that maybe California should stop sending all federal tax money to the IRS in Washington, D.C. Yes, that's on the record now. So that is a secessionary kind of statement, which is also interesting from my point of view, because I don't think any state should be sending money to the Treasury or the IRS. Because the whole tax code is unconstitutional. But the fact that Governor Newsom of California is saying this is really significant. This is kind of pre-secessionary talk. And over the next couple of days, if you start to see more and more examples of this, you know, it's a very strong indication of where this is going to be headed. Now, I do not in any world think that Texas would join with California to try to overthrow the federal government. No, that was probably just a contrivance in the film to try to throw off the audience to say, you know, you can't really nail this down. Is it Democrats or is it Republicans? They avoided those labels in the film, even though the film is still very much left-wing overall. But I can definitely see California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Illinois, you know, New York, etc. There are 20 to 25 states, Hawaii, you know the drill, New Mexico, that would gladly join in some kind of secession or insurrection if they thought they could topple Trump and then reclaim power over their authoritarian, communist-style Marxist regime where they would have extreme censorship, total control over speech, and they would, you know, probably execute all their political enemies and shut down all the independent media, etc. Because that's what Democrats do. Democrats are demons. They are the most despicable creatures that currently walk this realm. And there's nothing they won't do in order to maintain power. I'm talking about the leadership, not every single person who designates themselves a Democrat. I'm saying the Democrat leaders. But there's a lot of evil leaders all across, you know, different parties and different tribes and different, you know, organizations and branches of government, etc. Everything from the, I mean, look at what the FDA and the CDC did during COVID. Look at what HHS did during COVID. Some evil, evil organizations focused on mass death. Now that brings up my final point here, which is the depopulation agenda. As you probably know very well, there is an active extermination agenda that's at play right now. And COVID was one of the attempted chapters for mass extermination. they did manage to kill probably 20 plus million people worldwide. Maybe 1.5 million Americans were exterminated due to the bioweapons in the jabs. Those are conservative estimates. It could be a lot higher. But those numbers don't really put a dent into the overall population of the United States. And you may recall that there were Deagle.com projections that have been removed for the last couple of years. But the original projections showed that the population of the United States of America would decline to less than 100 million by the end of this year. So that would mean that somehow almost a quarter of a billion Americans would have to die. And I don't know if the Deagle report, I don't know where it got its numbers. Some people have suggested it was tied to like the CIA or something, or globalist orgs. But if you're asking yourself a question, how would any kind of nefarious globalist force, how would they kill, let's say, 238 million Americans in the next 6 or 7 months? How would they do that? War is one of the answers. War that ends up taking down the power grid. And then without the power grid, you start to get very high casualty rates. You could get 70, 80, 90% casualties in those areas where the power grid is down. And it's not difficult to see how, I mean, especially with this demonstration that we saw in Ukraine, when the cargo trucks roll up, the top opens up, and all these kamikaze drones fly out and they bomb airplanes at the Russian airports. Well, they could do that in America, hitting power grid substations or water treatment plants. Wouldn't even take very much. I mean, can you imagine 5 kamikaze drones going into a power grid substation, just kablooey, and then, you know, an entire city has no power? And how long would it take to get that back online? Well, you know, there are parts that are required for this that typically come from China, and we're in the middle of a trade war with China, and there's, you know, there's tariffs and there's supply chain delays and all kinds of issues with that. So depending on what's hit, some of these power grid infrastructure pieces could take 6 months or longer to get back online. So I'd like you to imagine the city of Los Angeles with no power for 6 months. What would be the death rate? And I dare say at least 50%. 6 months with no power in LA? There's no way that even 1 out of 2 people walk out of there alive. I don't think so. Because it's a death trap. I mean, you got no water, no food, no fuel, no energy, no air conditioning, nothing. How do you survive that? You don't. You don't. It just turns into a total Mad Max war zone, or really, you know, Kurt Russell, Escape from LA, which was originally Escape from New York. And of course, by the way, Escape from LA is the name of the knife that I designed with Dawson Knives now 1.5 years ago. And it's a knife that helps you escape a city where the power has gone out, because it's got a pry bar on the front of the knife. So if you want to check out that knife, it's actually available. Maybe not for long, because, you know, prices are going up on the Magna Cut. You can get it at healthrangerstore.com. Healthrangerstore.com. Just search for knife. And we've also got machetes and hatchets and many other knives from Dawson Knives. Those are all made in Arizona using steel, Magna Cut steel from New York. And by the way, that Magna Cut steel, I just was told a couple days ago, it's going to go up 80% in price. Magna Cut, 80% increase is coming. So these knives and hatchets and everything, as expensive as they look right now, they're going to be even more expensive, you know, probably within 90 days, something like that. So anyway, but back to the issue at hand here. Our power grid is extremely vulnerable, as hopefully everybody already realizes. And I ought to invite David Tice back on for an interview about that too, by the way. Man, I need to interview J.J. Carell and a bunch of people, come to think of it. I don't know. This is just changing up my schedule. I'll reach out to Matt Bracken, though, first, and see if I can get him on about this. But the bottom line is, this could get really ugly very, very quickly. So get prepared in every way that you can. Be ready for this thing to escalate. Now, I'm not saying to panic or freak out. Probably most of you listening are not in the areas that will be directly, you know, you're not living where there's going to be riots, you know, outside your front door. But what could affect you are infrastructure problems. And if the California ports, like the, you know, the LA ports, et cetera, if they start to get disrupted by these activities, or if there's a war in California, then you're going to have, obviously, you're going to have bottlenecks of shipments, both in and out. You're going to have worsening supply chain problems. And also, if the power grid gets affected, and that can affect all of you in the Western grid. You know, there are really only three main power grids in the U.S. There's the eastern half, the western half, and then there's Texas. You know, essentially, that's kind of the simplified version of it. But the power grid in, let's say, you know, Colorado is connected to the same power grid that powers California. And so if California starts to lose power infrastructure, it's going to have an impact on its neighbors. I mean, especially like Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, et cetera. It's going to have an impact. We could have cascading regional blackouts because of this. And also, what do communists and Marxists love to do? They love to spike railroad tracks and things like that. They like to derail trains. They like to set fire to vehicles that are parked on bridges, you know, to block the whole freaking bridge for everybody, which really disrupts not just traffic, but economic activity, shipments, you know, even military shipments, etc. Military uses bridges too, right? So if there's a concerted, planned effort to try to cripple America, there's a lot that these radical leftists could do, even in conjunction with the California government, which of course is a bunch of treasonous criminals, and in conjunction with maybe enemies of America that have, you know, operatives already here. Maybe some from the Middle East might have suicide bombers here, for example. Maybe there's some spies from China that are going to go active with something. Who knows? Maybe there's Mexican narco cartels that figure, like, this is our chance, you know, go for it. And they start, like, firebombing police stations or something. These are not out of the realm of possibilities. I'm not at all trying to spread fear. I'm not saying panic. What I'm saying is to be aware. Be aware of these things. Be aware of possible disruptions. Be aware of, you know, I mean, there could be, you know, dirty bombs. There could be terrorism attacks. All kinds of things could happen, obviously. So it's just a good idea to double check all your preparedness circumstances and just be psychologically ready for a summer of craziness, because that's what it looks like we're all getting plunged into. Okay, one more thing to mention. In terms of preparedness, it's very clear to me you're going to start seeing ammo sales will start to spike. Firearms sales are going to go up probably if this situation in California continues. And right now, ammo's cheap. Firearms are cheap because there really hasn't been much demand in that industry for quite some time, because there hasn't been an event like this. But if this goes on for a couple more days, like I said, it's going to be very difficult to get ammo. So, and there are other things that you might want to look into. For example, you can get ballistic vests, not in New York, but I think in most other places. Check your local laws. I've got a link to a ballistic vest provider at rangerdeals.com. Also at rangerdeals.com, I've got a link to 1791 Gun Leather, which has the best forming holsters that you heat them up and then they form around your pistol. So it's a perfect fit and they're durable. Remember how I mentioned that for years I kept breaking all of these other material holsters? What was the material? It's like that plastic material. I forgot what it's called. I kept breaking them. And then I discovered 1791 Gun Leather. And ever since then, I've had the same holster and it's held up the entire time. It's been a couple years now. So I've got a discount code for you there, rangerdeals.com. You can find that. You've got the satellite phones for backup communications, sat123.com. But if you go to rangerdeals.com, you'll see all my links, all the discount codes, some of the affiliate codes, whatever is necessary there for the various providers that I recommend. And then you can also get, of course, long-term storable food and the knives I mentioned and iodine and other things at healthrangerstore.com. So, you know, double check all your supplies. Make sure that you've got everything squared away. It's also a decent time to think about, you know, do you have a thermal scope? Do you have a night vision monocular or a PBS 14 or night vision goggles or whatever? You know, just think about what could be coming. Do you have a generator? Do you have a whole house generator? Do you have a transfer switch? Do you have, I prefer diesel generators because it's much safer to store diesel on site. So the fact that I live on a ranch in Texas, of course, I store 500 gallons of diesel all the time anyway, you know, for my farm equipment, and, you know, red dye diesel. And so it's safe to store. You may not be able to put that in a neighborhood wherever you are, but if you're in a rural area, you could get 500 or even 1,000 gallon diesel tank. You can store 1,000 gallons of diesel. You can probably run your house on less than half a gallon per hour. Even in one day on a diesel generator, you know, you'll probably burn less than 10 gallons of diesel. So you could do the math, 1,000 gallons of diesel. You could go 100 days on a whole house diesel generator. Just be sure to buy extra oil filters and oil. You have to change the oil every couple hundred hours. And there's belts and there's fuel filters, things like that. But anyway, make sure you're squared away. You can also get solar generators from the satellite phone store. They're just, you know, solar panels that store energy in a battery system with a charge controller. Sat123.com. And that's great for more portable power. It's great for charging small electronic devices like phones and flashlights and, you know, whatever. Double check all your firearms. That's kind of a self-reminder too. I still need to check out these new suppressors I got. I got some titanium suppressors and I haven't even had time to put them on. I'm still running the old heavy suppressors. It's crazy. Anyway, I got to swap those out, which means I have to change the whole flash hider, the adapter on the front end of the barrel, which involves a vise and some tools and a blowtorch to melt the what's the stuff called that hardens on the threads, like a thread lock stuff. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of a project. I'll get to it, but you should get to your stuff too. Figure out where you have weaknesses in your plan and just use this as an opportunity to double down on your readiness, understanding that the Democrats probably don't want to back down, and I don't see Trump and his people backing down. I don't see Stephen Miller backing down. I don't see Tom Homan backing down. I think that, frankly, the American people support what Trump is doing in California right now. That's what I think. I mean, I support it. We've got to take the illegals out of the country. There's no other option. I mean, look at how much violence they're carrying out right now. So folks, get ready, and thank you for listening. I will, of course, keep you posted with another broadcast tomorrow, and hopefully I'll try to connect with Bracken and some others and see if we can get some other experts to chime in on what's happening. In the meantime, pray for peace and pray for America, pray for our security and safety during all of this, because Trump is now facing three wars, a war, or at least a war situation with Russia, a potential war with Iran that Israel is pushing for, and now a potential war in California against a bunch of seditious traitors and anti-American activists. So there you go. Three wars, a three-front war. Not good. All right. Stay tuned. I'll bring you more tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Take care. The super volcano Mount Etna is erupting again. So far, the eruption has been rather small, although still impressive, pushing clouds up to 4 kilometers skyward. But if it actually experiences a full eruption, then it would eject so much particulate matter into the atmosphere that it would block sunlight around the entire world for a year or even longer. I don't mean 100% of sunlight, but it would diminish enough light to cause crop failures all over the world. It would shorten growing seasons by effectively lowering temperatures everywhere that crops are grown. So the food supply that normally feeds the world would suffer a catastrophic collapse. And this has happened before. I forgot the year. It was like 1817. Tamburo, and it caused what was called the year without a summer in the UK. So far away, halfway across the world, a year without a summer, and crops failed all over the world back then. Well, at that time, the population was a small fraction of the current population of the world. So if this eruption gets worse, we're in a dire situation. Well, we want to help support you and offer you solutions to help you get ready for this. You obviously need to have a food supply. We've got that available right now, laboratory tested, certified organic, at healthrangerstore.com. We've got right now the Ranger buckets, 536 servings, certified organic, emergency storable food supply in rugged polyethylene buckets. And then inside the bucket, each food item is packed in what we call a brick. It's a compressed, vacuumed, extra thick container that makes it kind of like a thin brick shape, which also has additional long-term storage capabilities. So these things, this is why we could ship these to North Carolina as we did last year. We can ship them there, but we're not afraid of rain. Even if it rains on these, it doesn't destroy the food inside. There's no cardboard, there's nothing to get soggy, and it's also essentially rodent-proof, except for maybe bears. If you have a bear problem, you know, you've got bigger issues. But for most rodents, they can't get into these buckets at all. So very handy there. Now, we're also on the verge of a potential nuclear conflict with Russia right now as the situation heats up with Ukraine. Ukraine's kind of stuck in the middle, but the NATO leaders want war. And some of the crazy, insane, warmongering neocons in the U.S. government, they want war too. They want war with Russia. They want war with Iran. They always seem to want war, you know, because the right people profit from it. Well, we don't want war. But we want you to be ready if there is a war. So I've got samples on my desk here. We've got nascent iodine right there at the bottom in the bottles available. And we have Iosat, which is the FDA-approved potassium iodide supplements. If there's any kind of a fallout scenario, nuclear terrorism, nuclear war, you name it, you definitely want to have a good supply of iodine to protect your thyroid. If you lose your thyroid from typically, you know, radioisotopes of cesium, such as cesium-137 or iodine-131 would be the one that goes right to the thyroid. But I mean, I mentioned cesium because that is more of a systemic impact on the body, very toxic with a half-life of 29 years in that case. Radioactive iodine only has a half-life of about 7 days, but if you don't have iodine protection for your thyroid, then your thyroid gets destroyed. And then without your thyroid, your life is miserable. Because nothing works. You don't have energy. You can't sleep right. You know, without your thyroid, your body is a wreck. So protect your thyroid with iodine. This can also be used in moderate amounts as a daily iodine supplement. And I'm not saying take the dropper or drink the bottle. No, that would not be recommended. It's like a drop or two. Read the label. It's a very tiny amount of iodine that you need each day. I mean, it's actually in micrograms. So you don't have to overdo the iodine, but it is good to have the right amount in your body and not have an iodine deficiency. We've got iodine and Iosat available at healthrangerstore.com. Go there right now. Here on the homepage, you can see everything that we've got available, some of the different featured products, including right now Hawaiian astaxanthin and many other products as well. We've got lots, you know, a new batch of turmeric also, which is incredibly beneficial in so many ways. So check it all out, healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.